This is Press Play. I'm Madeline Brand. We are less than 24 hours out from Thanksgiving Day, so I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about food. Maybe you're scrambling to come up with a last-minute dish to serve tomorrow or something outside the norm to bring to Thanksgiving if you're not hosting. So we're going to revisit some of our interviews we've done on Press Play with chefs and food writers, and specifically the parts where they talk about some of their favorite foods. So first up, Bricia Lopez, whose family owns the Oaxacan restaurant Gelaguetza. She told us how her favorite mole sauces go with everything, and some of those recipes are in her new cookbook, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico. Talk about the ingredients in it. It's the combination of the chile and the chocolate. Spices.
Yeah, I think there's very little chocolate. I think a lot of people think of it more like a chocolate sauce, but it really doesn't. It's a hint of chocolate just to bring that complexity of salty and sweetness together. So it's like a perfect sort of umami flavor. But you have things like sesame seeds and cinnamon and chiles and garlic and onions and tomatoes. And it's this marrying of these roasted, toasted chiles, sometimes fried chiles, with these other ingredients that all have been smoked. And then you grind them and then you put them together and you use any a chicken broth or any broth that you have. And it becomes this beautiful, silky, perfectly balanced with a hint of smoky sauce. And I think, and then you put a little bit of chocolate to finish it off.
It sounds complicated to make. I won't lie.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we really wanted to kind of really push through in this book is this idea that making mole has been had this notion in our mind that takes days to make. You know, everyone always says, "Oh, I can't believe you made mole. It must have taken you days." Like, the notion of mole taking days to make comes from the idea of parties. And in Oaxaca, yes, it takes days to make when you're making mole for 1,000 people. Anything that you're making for 1,000 people will take days to make. But if you're making mole at home for a family of six, it takes you a couple of hours.
That was Bricia Lopez from the Oaxacan restaurant Gelaguetza talking about mole. All right, you have the sauce, but maybe you're looking for more of a side dish type situation. Naz Duravian says tadig, or Persian crispy rice, is the dish that always gets people excited at her house. Duravian is the author of the Persian cookbook Bottom of the Pot. And we talked about what makes tadig so delicious when her book came out last year. So you have on the cover a big picture, a big bowl of rice with that crunchy stuff on top.
Tadig. The bottom of the pot.
So it's rice turned over, so you have the bottom on the top.
So it's like flipping a cake, yes, but it's rice, and it's the crunchy, buttery, crisp, saffron-y, crispy rice. And
yum.
Who doesn't like that?
Nobody doesn't like that. So the tadig is actually referring to the crispy layer.
So tah means bottom, dig means pot.
There you go.
Bottom of the pot.
Okay, so how do you make that?
Okay, Madeline, ready?
Yeah, I am.
So, you know, Iranians, Persians have, I like to think, and we as a culture would like to think, that we have elevated rice making to an art form. So this type of rice making, it's a two-step process where you first parboil the rice in a lot of water, kind of like making pasta.
Yeah.
And then when it's al dente, soft on the outside, but with still a crunch on the inside, you drain it. You strain it, and then you put lots of oil on the bottom of your pot, butter. I do a mix of butter and oil, and then you sprinkle it with some saffron to get that beautiful golden crust. And then you spread a first layer of rice, which is your tadig layer, and then you gently scatter the rest of the rice into the pot. And then comes the steaming part. So then you steam the rice and let the tadig layer set. Hopefully, fingers crossed, say a little mantra, whatever it is that you do, and then you can flip it for a big ta-da, tadig.
What if it sticks to the pot?
Even
when you
better.
Flip it?
No.
Then it's like, oh.
And
no,
that
ta-da moment.
That happens to everybody. It happens to me. It happens to every Persian mama, grandma.
And the key, I guess, is putting a lot of oil or butter.
Well, there are a lot of variables. We're complicated people, as is our race. It depends on your heat source. It depends on your pot itself. It depends on your mood that day. The rice's mood.
The rice has a mood.
And it's not so complicated.
Naz Daravian, author of the Persian cookbook, Bottom of the Pot. All right, you have the appetizer, you have a side dish, on to the main course, and we have an unconventional choice for you. Camel hump. Yeah, camel hump. Chef Anissa Helou talked about the first time she tried camel hump when we had her on to talk about her book, Feast. It's an anthology of food from the Islamic world.
It wasn't a revelation, to be honest. But
what did it taste like?
Kind of between lamb and meat. It was a little bit tough. You know, the spices were nice, but it wasn't like...
Is there a lot of meat on the hump?
There's a lot of fat. Yeah. And under the fat, you have like two fillets against the spine. So...
That's the prize of
the hump. That's the prize of the camel hump. And also the fact that it is one bit of the animal, whereas you have, you know, like two legs, two shoulders... chops, etc.
Is it considered the delicacy of the camel?
Yeah,
the hump.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the centerpiece of that.
Of the animal and of the feast.
But then I thought of writing an article and I went to my friend and I said, I need a camel because you can't buy a camel hump. And she very kindly gave me a beautiful baby camel. And I took my camel hump with me to my brother's flat, who happens to be based in Dubai. Both my brother and his housekeeper were horrified by what I had brought back.
You're just
home.
Holding a hump?
I was. I think it was wrapped. And my brother was like, what are you going to do? Like, can't we buy a regular leg of lamb or something?
Well, how that does raise the question, how do you cook such a thing?
Well, actually, I marinated it in this wonderful Emirati marinade, which has rose water, saffron, spices, and a bit of garlic, and basted it with a kind of another, you know, sauce with tamarind, rose water, and saffron. And I roasted it a bit like a leg of lamb, but longer. And then, you know, served it by slitting at the bottom of the hump and getting the meat out. And it was the best ever piece of camel hump I ever ate. After that, I never had any more.
But you do have a recipe in your book for it, in case we want to try it. Where would,
yes,
where
it was
in the
baby,
United States could we
get a camel hump?
The, yeah.
I don't know. You can get camel meat frozen, but not camel hump. I doubt it. Unless you go to a camel farm and they have the right type of camel.
Chef Anissa Helou talking about her recipe for camel hump. Okay, finding a camel hump last minute might be a little bit difficult to pull off. Pastry chef Nicole Rucker's famous lime pie is not. It's a great option for people who love pie, but find a pumpkin or apple a little bit too predictable. Rucker talked about her lime pie when we had her on for her book Dappled, which was all about baking with fruit. We have to talk about the key lime pie. Actually, mm-hmm. It's just the lime pie.
Mm-hmm.
I've not only eaten it, I've made it.
Uh-huh.
And it is fantastic.
I think it goes back to the other lie we were discussing off air.
Yeah.
Which is salt.
It's and got a lot of salt in it.
It has a lot of salt in it. And that's probably why it's such a hit. Mm. It's the simplest recipe.
It was really easy.
You made it. It's so easy.
Yeah, if I can make it, it's easy.
Deceptively simple, but sometimes that's the best things are deceptively simple, right? And then you're like, it's just a combination. You know, we say don't F it up. You know, when you have good ingredients, you don't want to mess them up. Just like do everything you can to not screw them up. So this is one of those things. You just do as little as possible.
Right. Make it simple. It's a graham cracker crust.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of salt in it.
With a lot of salt in it. It's the lime with the eggs, the sort of, you know, that.
And condensed milk.
Condensed
to be honest,
milk.
The
Delicious.
Base of the recipe is from the back of the Eagle brand can.
And then the top is whipped cream mixed with sour cream.
Which
was also a little bit of a
it
surprise.
Is. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of like the trick, is there's more salt in it and there's more tang in it.
So there's a theme here. Mm-hmm. You like the tang.
I like tangy. I like salty and tangy. It's very in.
In your dessert.
Yeah.
people like that, instead of it being the sweetness rising up.
Pastry chef Nicole Rucker talking about her lime pie. Well, if you'd rather skip pie altogether, République pastry chef Margarita Mansky has a good recipe for the popular Filipino dessert halo halo. Mansky's recipe is in her cookbook that came out last year called Baking at République. She talked about how she and her husband, Walter Mansky, who's République's head chef, how they came up with the recipe together. And what is halo halo?
It's the quintessential Filipino dessert, and it's got all kinds of stuff. Beans, name it, fruit, just weird stuff.
And it's kind of ice creamy?
Yeah, and it's topped with crushed ice, ice cream, evaporated milk, ube is there. Mm. And I wanted to serve, okay, let's serve the traditional halo halo. That's what I grew up with, so that's what we're doing. But then he was like, well, how can you do that? We don't have all the ingredients, and it's better to serve what we have here, you know? It's better to serve fresh fruit. It's better to serve this, that, that. So at first, we were like kind of arguing, and I was like, no. And he's like, well, that's what I would do. But then we ended up doing a twist on it where we serve what we have here, which, I mean, we have a great farmer's market. So we get all the fruit from the farmer's market. And we ended up doing, instead of just plain crushed ice, it's like a flavored ice that's seasonal. Mm. So if watermelons are in season, we make a watermelon ice to go on top of it, which I thought turned out really good. And so that's one of the examples, yeah.
It's a recipe in here, too.
That's in the book.
So yes. You can actually make it at home. I mean, it seems so complicated. It's a little intimidating.
The great thing about the dessert is you can put whatever you want in it.
Yeah.
You know. It's halo halo. And halo halo in the direct translation is mix. So it's literally mixing whatever you feel like in a glass, topping it with ice. If you want flavored ice, watermelon, mango.
But it's like shaved ice.
Yeah, shaved ice. Yeah. Yeah.
Was Margarita Mansky, pastry chef at République, talking about halo halo. If you're looking for even more inspiration, you can revisit the full interviews with these chefs on our website, kcrw.com/pressplay. Michelle Aloy is here, who produced that segment. Is that from Charlie Brown?
A little Vince Grimaldi trio for you on your Thanksgiving Eve.
Yes, thank you.
What a classic. Will you be making camel hump?
We'll not be making camel hump, but pies galore for sure.
Yeah, I'll give that lime pie a shout out too. Delicious.
It is the best.
Exceedingly easy.
Yes.
Go for it. We got a little bit of feedback on our Amazon segment. Jay Hayes says he hasn't used Amazon in several years. If you want something shipped to you, go to the actual website of the manufacturer of whatever product you're looking for, or just go to the actual store.
Simple. What a concept.
What a concept.
Okay. Well, we are out of time, and we are out of show.
Yes.
And we will be airing Electric E24. All day tomorrow, which is all music. So while you're cooking, you can listen to music. We're going to take a break. We're going to eat some pie, eat some turkey, maybe some camel hump. No.
Probably not. No camel hump. It's going to be hard.
All right. Michelle Aloy, have a great, happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Madeline Brand.
Thank you. And you too. I will be back on Monday.